Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by Rich, the Tweet-a-thon Twitter Stambolian.
I'm the Tweet-a-thon Twitter.
Tweet-a-thon Twitter.
Am I a cool looking bird at least?
You are. You come. It's like the Red Rooster, but
Southern
in 2014.
You wear like Colonel Sanders gear.
Yeah.
You tweet.
And of course, on the couch, the one man team himself, John. The Coconut Crusher layman. What does the Coconut Crusher do, John?
I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but we had a whole discussion about this before.
He goes around the country and he promotes moisturizing your animals by telling them, listen, if you want your animal moisturized, press some coconuts, about 13, no more than 13.
Yeah.
Dunk your
Dog, cat,
gerbil, baby inside the coconut cream and a full day in there.
Just let them simmer.
And then I rest on the side.
Yeah.
Pay the bills.
But the thing about you is that nobody could grapple with you because you're just covered in coconut oil.
Covered in coconut, yeah. I smell awesome. I smell like I should have a good tan. I don't have a good tan.
You have an awful tan.
And no one lets me into their house.
So the last couple of weeks, I have not been... Normally, when I come up with the names, like I think about it all day, and I'm like, okay, what have we used before? What have we not? It's an entire thought process. I'm telling you, it's insane. And then I go through like four or five, and then I choose one at that moment.
You write these down?
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a whole thing. I have not been doing this. So the last couple of weeks, it's all been awful.
He's apologizing.
Well, yeah. Well, we weren't on last week, so that explains that.
Yeah.
It was a repeat. It was actually a really good one.
Yeah. A lot happening in professional wrestling.
Really?
Yeah. You know, there is a lot happening because we haven't been on the air for 2 weeks, but I guess we could start off by talking about NXT and how phenomenal their pay-per-view was.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And John came into the studio, and he looked at me.
The office and the studio.
The office and the dog is running away. So John walks in, and he goes, NXT. I'm like, great. He's like, yep. I'm like, it was simple. He's like, yep.
I didn't say yep.
This is today or this
today.
Is like
this is
in the middle of the night?
No, this is John showed up.
I woke him up. I watched it on like at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, did you NXT?
NXT?
But it was, we both understood why it was good. Why? Mm-hmm. It was simple. Mm-hmm. It wasn't complicated. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah.
Just, this is what it is.
Yeah, it was fantastic. What was your favorite part?
You know what's funny? I liked the Charlotte match, and people hated it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was bad at all.
You liked it because she cried at the end of the show.
She always cries.
No.
I like that. The main event was great. Tyson Kidd is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Kenta changing his name.
Oh, whatever, man.
I got over it.
You know what's weird? This is how it struck me, okay? They decided they were going with Kenta. And there was probably a meeting. They're like, we're going to keep these guys' identities. We're going to keep them as whoever they were prior to the WWE. And at the last minute, Vince or somebody was like, no.
I don't know about that.
His name is Hideo Itami. After, you know what they named him after?
Hideo Nomo,
the baseball player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a stupid...
I love the name. Hideo Nomo is one of the best names in,
it is a great
in
name.
Baseball. So I don't know. You know, like,
I feel it was very last minute, the change. Like they decided that this was they weren't going with the real names. Like now.
No, it is. Like, I don't think there's a strong attachment to, like, a Kenta brand. Like, the dude is going to be the guy that really, you know, is... Like, it's one thing if I was really familiar with El Generico before he came in. I wasn't. I saw Sami Zayn first, and I saw El Generico afterwards. I said, oh, awesome. I'm really pissed off if he dropped his character.
Yeah.
Kenta doesn't really have a definable character. He kicks the crap out of you. He does his thing. Now he's going to speak broken English. And that's it. Like, I don't care what his name is.
You know what? Like, there's... When it happened,
no branding.
When it happened last week, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But then, like, I quickly got over it. The same thing with the generic Sami Zayn stuff, where I was like, all right, I like it. You're right. The thing that was defining about his name was that it was in all capital letters.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
You can still do that with this one.
And you can still chant the new name.
Yeah.
Hideo?
Well, I was thinking.
Kent is such a stronger name than
Tommy.
A lot of the strong K, you know, it's that K.
Yeah.
Sells.
You think they're going to rename Kevin Steen to Keith Manhouse?
They're going to change all of them. They're going to name him something stupid. Boogie Wooly. That'll be his name.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you take all day to come up with that one?
No, that was just off the top of my head.
Good.
Yeah. Comedic genius here.
There you go.
But I actually feel like that's how they come up with their names.
Who do you think is making the decisions? I don't think that Vince is doing it for this.
You know what? I don't think he decided on the name. I think what happened was they had decided he was going to be Kenta, and Triple H is, because he's spoken about this, how he likes people's identities, and he doesn't talk about like total repackaging, and he likes people to wrestle differently. I think like they decided they were going with like their real names, like Kenta, Steen, and Devitt, and then like at the last minute, Vince is like, nope, we need to keep the brand.
I think with this situation, he sat Kenta down, or somebody sat Kenta down and say, you know, sit down. And
who's your favorite baseball player?
Made him write down like write down 10 Japanese names, and we're gonna just go with a couple of them.
Hideo Maguire.
Yeah,
that would have been amazing. My theory is that this is kind of like the new thing that they're doing over the past few years. It's a purposeful trial by fire, where now they have such an amazing performance center and developmental territory that they will slap a shitty name on you to see if you can make it. Skip Sheffield, Husky Harris. Michael McGillicuddy, prime examples.
Yeah,
except for Heath Slater, because that.
Yeah, but these guys have no identity, right? Like, and you think about, like, let's compare this to the Monday Night War era, where when a guy would come over, he would keep his name unless it was like the Giant. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, you can't because they own the trademark on that. If TNA in this current, if TNA was a legitimate threat, right? Like we're talking like big leagues. Would they change people's names? Would they still like grab someone like AJ Styles, and that's his name, and that he owns the rights to that name? Would they change his name when he came over?
Probably not.
No, they did with Christian. Remember when he came over, they called him Christian Cage.
They had to legally.
Yeah.
No. TNA changed it, but not W. I'm talking about the other way around.
I thought you meant the other way around.
No. Because his real name isn't, you know, he went by Christian Cage. Right. But, like, I'm talking about the guy's real name. Like, Chris Benoit, right? If Chris Benoit was in Japan and WWE, like, now, like, would they decide to change Chris Benoit's name? They probably would now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's they go back and forth on that whole idea of, like, the renaming and the naming of characters.
I can't think of what is the last character that was not renamed? CM Punk?
Maybe. Yeah.
CM Punk, there's got to be one or two that are in there somewhere.
I can't think of anybody.
Everybody gets pissed off for about a week and then just kind of forgets about it.
Yeah, Tyler Black.
Tyler Black would change. Yeah. But again, I don't think those guys were as talking about the biggest name like to come over like a big acquisition. Mm-hmm. I think probably Kenta is the most well-rounded professional wrestler to
I think all of them are a good representation of like a certain category of wrestler. Like these are three guys or four guys that are really on top of their game. Kenta representing Japan, Devitt to a small degree, and also representing like the whole Irish background, which is going to go over gangbusters with Vince, and Steen representing like the hardcore indie scene.
Throw Neville in there too.
Yeah, and Neville, yeah. And being like the high flying indie guy, and I think that. I don't think it's so much their character or their name or anything that defines them. I think it's going to be that Vince always feels like, you know what? I need to make sure I have no problems with this later on in the future. So I'm going to brand you. I'm going to make you my own little baby somehow.
Yeah. No, I agree with that to a certain extent also because, again, like if they have success, it's because of them.
Yeah.
The one thing that I heard that was, I don't know how I feel about it, is that the reveal for Sami Zayn is that he's the bunny.
Well, he's been the bunny.
Right. Well, that he's going to, that's the reveal that's happening.
I hope not.
No.
I could see it happening, but it's such a lame reveal.
I feel like that's a Vince thing because he's like, oh, he comes out to ska music.
Ain't a
this
bunny.
Guy likes to party. Put him with the party guy. Ska party. Let's do it. Yeah. Where's the keg? As the meeting.
That's good.
I don't feel like this were all the name changes. Like, I never felt like this about Dean Ambrose. Like, I don't think anybody was hearing me like, no, we should be Johnny Moxley or Tyler Black.
There was a lot of Tyler Black hate when he
I mean, Seth Rollins is as good as Tyler Black. I mean, like, it doesn't impact me.
It's the same level of name.
Same level of name. But, like, AJ Styles would be a great example of, would they change his name? It's recognizable throughout the indie scene. It's recognizable. He was in WCW for a short period. He was TNA's golden boy. Now he's the biggest star in Japan currently. Mm-hmm. So would they decide to change a guy like AJ Styles to Styling J?
Yes.
We're over to, yeah. If he's coming over to WWE.
He's coming over to WWE.
Yeah, of course they would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is them, also the way they did it with Kenta, it's them letting the fans know that you can do whatever you want. When Curtis Axel went from Michael McGillicuddy to Curtis Axel, Paul Heyman announced that.
So dumb.
What is this? What is this idiot doing?
Staying at the top of the stairs, looking at the window. Oh, here it comes.
He's got a big steel chair.
He's coming with a steel chair.
Your dog's about to clean house.
Oh, right now. God. But, and like, it's fascinating, right? Mm-hmm. Like, with the naming, because this is the...
I think you're making big deals.
I am, but the two of us
have been arguing the fact that it's like it's not a big deal.
But isn't this WWE's typical thing where they don't acknowledge anything and anybody before the WWE? They are the end all be all in professional wrestling, and then at times, once you've made it with them, they'll say like, "Yeah, he wrestled for like this thing called ROH."
Well, they're the pinnacle at this point. Yeah. There's no one bigger than them, so they feel like, you know, if you're going to come into our fold, you're going to be ours. You want to go be AJ Styles somewhere else? Okay, but you're Styling J.
Styling J.
Another awful
gimmick.
That's a
good one, too.
Another, yeah. I'm coming up with good ones today.
Mm-hmm.
Raw's been garbage.
Awful.
Really bad.
2 weeks ago, Raw was amazing.
Which one was
the one that started with Bray Wyatt and Jericho, the cage match?
It was okay.
That was a good Raw.
It was okay. What else was good about it? I hate that thing. The only thing I liked about it was the possibility of Seth Rollins getting impaled.
That was pretty crazy. I flipped with the Jericho dive off the cage.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, why?
It was exciting.
He
hasn't done that in forever.
I know. He shouldn't be doing that.
40-something-year-old guy.
I thought he hurt himself. I really thought he hurt himself.
And we saw a second dive at the end of the show. Yeah. Two dives.
Yeah. What else was on that episode? There was something else that was halfway decent.
Something with the Bella Twins.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there was a Cena promo.
Yeah, maybe. His promos have been good. Yeah. We haven't talked about Total Divas at all this season. Have you watched it at all?
Yes, I have.
It's wonderful. Andrew,
is it? No, I've never
really
watched a full episode.
Really,
like maybe one.
There was this great moment because now the whole story is revolving around Eva Mendes not getting accepted by society.
Right.
As a recovering addict and having huge, gigantic implants.
Oh, my God.
And also Nikki Bella getting her eggs frozen because she's afraid that she's going to. She gets talked into it by her sister to freeze her eggs. And so she's taking hormones. And at the end of one of the episodes, she kept the whole thing secret from John Cena. And then Cena starts going through her shit and finds, like, syringes. And she's like, fixing lunch or something like that. And he comes in, he's like, "Nikki, what the hell are these?" And it has the needles, and they have like a dubstep drop, like dude.
Yep.
Oh my God!
And it's like cutting back and forth between Cena and the needles and her face. And
that's
like,
pretty.
Oh,
accurate.
This is TV, man.
It's a really entertaining show, especially because
that
like,
should be the storyline they're doing on television.
The needles,
like talking about freezing
her eggs.
And they could have a hormone on a pole match.
Vince Russo booking.
Divas is how they slowly bring back like Attitude Era programming.
Yes, I hope so.
John
frozen eggs the way he backed into and Attitude.
It turns out that she was holding it for like a friend. The needles. It was for like a wrestler.
So good. And they explain it. He's like, "This. Oh my God, I feel so much better than I thought you were doing drugs.
I thought you brought drugs.
I thought you brought drugs into this house."
He's honest to God, man. Like that dude is a robot.
He's a robot, man. He is a scary, weird dude.
Oh my God.
A straight face too. Cause he's getting jolly. He's getting old.
Yeah,
he's getting
man.
Really jolly. So whenever he like pans to the camera, it's like
And now they're also the B storyline is Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan are broke because the way that WWE works is if you don't show up, you don't get paid.
Oh, is that that's what they're saying on
paid,
TV?
It's a paid by day. Service.
Is that really what they're saying?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, you know, with Daniel, because they just brought in the storyline that he, you know, he's hurt, he needs surgeries, and not going to be able to work.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, if we're not there, we don't get paid.
Like if we're not on the road.
Yeah,
we're
going to, so like, they're broke. They just bought a new house, this little house.
It's so ridiculous.
And they're going to have
insane.
And they're going to have to ask John Cena for money.
Oh my God!
So they're going. Okay. So like Nikki, Brie goes.
I would
Nikki.
Rather ask. Like I would rather go through like a mortgage broker.
But this is what like the entire show revolves around: Nikki doing things and not telling John Cena about them, and then it blowing up. So Brie asked Nikki about.
She's
like,
Lucy. She's...
I need to borrow money. We're broke. And they're not working. And Nikki tells takes money out and gives it to them and doesn't tell John Cena, and then John Cena loses his mind.
Jeez. How much money did they borrow?
I don't know. That's just a previous.
How much money
episode.
Do you think it was?
I don't think it's anything.
I don't think it's no money.
Like you think it's like $2,000?
I don't think it's any money. I think it's make believe.
Yeah. First of all, who in the right mind would actually believe that Daniel Bryan is not getting paid on a contract?
And plus on like, on royalty checks
champion,
alone,
champion, like, world champion,
world like yeah. Your world champion needs neck surgery. And
you're not getting paid.
It's not, but like this isn't 1985. Like this isn't the NFL in the 80s.
The way that they get paid is they wrestle, they walk out, and Pat Patterson hands them a wad of bills.
Yeah,
and they go on their way.
They imply that if he's not at the arena, he can't go to the merch booth and be like, "How many t-shirts do they sell tonight?"
Yeah,
45. Here's your cut. All right, thanks. Yeah. Grabs a bucket full of money and leaves.
That's what they used to do with WCW.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
I would love to see that. By the way, that's freaking brilliant. Those stories that you hear about how Kevin Nash used to go to the merch booth and be like, "How many shirts did we sell? 2,000? Okay, give me the cash," and would take the cash and then just would like go.
I love t-shirts.
That was like ECW story, right?
Yeah, they would just like all the dudes would just like sell their
stuff. Well, they all worked for the merchandise.
Jesus.
The another
so Daniel Bryan's not getting paid.
Not getting paid.
Yeah.
Not getting paid.
Another storyline is Naomi and Cameron.
Yeah,
the bad one.
Ariane.
That they both
girl bye.
They said like, "Yeah, girl bye." So she's like, "Count ref." So he's so the two of them get pulled into a creative's office. Who's that guy? Who's the dude?
Mark Carano.
Yeah, they pull him in. He's like, "Listen. This is what we're going to do with the two of you. Naomi, you're going to wrestle. You're going to do great. You're a valet. Hopefully you'll go away." And so she gets really pissed off about this. And like, she's having a nervous breakdown. And she decides, "I'm going to go down to NXT to bury myself because I can't be a valet." And I was only brought up within like 3 months. I was only in NXT for 3 months.
Yeah.
And then Naomi flipping on her and saying like, "We're supposed to be the Funkadactyls." Like, don't you know, like if I win the belt, like that automatically sets us up for a feud. He's like, and she's like, "You're only thinking about yourself." And this is how they got the match on Monday. That was so good with the counter.
So, so is that what they're doing? Like, blows my mind.
Finally,
why are some things kayfabe and some things not?
Everything's like, kayfabe.
Now it's
fact,
full blown.
Like, they are saying that they donate each other and that it's a work. Like, that's what they're saying. Right. Like, you're going to get a title shot, it's a work. But the Brie Bella thing is a work, but they're acknowledging it as a work. Daniel Bryan is legitimately hurt.
It's kayfabe 4.0.
Doing kayfabe. This is like kayfabe 10.0.
Yeah.
It's like the Matrix of kayfabe.
But this is also a great way to get you into the Divas division because you'll hear the blaring announcement of like, "Oh, if you didn't see what happened on Total Divas, they don't like each other." And they'll give you like the setup so you kind of have to go and watch.
Yeah.
The stupid argument between them. The best part about that whole thing was Titus O'Neil saying "girl bye."
Oh, it's so good! It's like, "girl bye." Eva Marie is getting married. Of course.
By the way, I have decided that is going into my daily vocabulary.
"Girl bye" is amazing.
"Girl bye."
The best thing she gave to humanity.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to the bar after the show.
Yeah.
When I'm done paying, I'm going to be like, "girl bye."
"Girl bye."
"Girl bye." I might come with you.
Are you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just to see.
I might.
Titus O'Neil is a golden child that will only grow and prosper.
I disagree with that because of that one girl bye. He will be the Farouk of the future.
Mm.
Instead of saying "damn," he'll just say "girl bye." All the time.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I would love there to be a documentary style like Total Divas, but it's going to be called Weirdos. It's going to be about all the wrestlers outside of like the wrestling world.
Heath Slater,
and not even like around each other. Like, I'm not even talking like backstage. I'm talking about like follow Heath Slater buying like stuff at CVS.
Hornswoggle.
Like, I have come to the conclusion that they don't know how to like do that.
That would be amazing.
None of them know how to like function outside of the little bubble. Mm-hmm. So
they only shop like Kali, at truck stops.
Like Kali has to at one point go to like Rite Aid to buy razors. You know, like
he doesn't. He's after Monday night, I'm convinced that he's John Cena's genie.
That was actually pretty good. That was a good bit.
That was
the one good bit out of the the entire Kali
Yeah,
run.
But like, I, and, but here's the problem: that we're watching it as satire.
Yeah,
like,
but I, you know, I
it's
want,
not.
But I want that. Like, you know, like that's one thing with like looking at all this raw stuff. No one took each other seriously.
Yeah,
like it was a big deal when it was serious. When like, you know, when it was Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels want to kill each other, that's a big deal. But like, there was like all the DX stuff and all the other like all the other interactions. It was fun as shit. Yeah. Like weirdo stuff in backstage, yeah. Like Kali blocking the door.
Yeah,
that's fun.
But like, see, they're slowly going back to that because for a while, if you notice, they stopped doing the pre-match
backstage
interviews. Yeah, and now they're doing them like with Renee Young, and you get like the run-ins, and you get the cool stuff like that again. And like the Kali thing was great.
But yeah, it was. And then also, you bring a really good point. The idea that the only way we have a segue into the story is through an interpreter, through like a Renee Young bit. Mm-hmm. You very rarely have like the you know the fish shot, you know, like the fly in the wall shot of right. Like, you know, Kali and John Cena hanging out just in the corner somewhere talking, and then
yeah.
You know, what's his name? Kevin Nash comes in and boots him
out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
The ideal running. No,
it's weird. It's like the narrative that they do now is really weird. And I think that's the problem with the show itself, where it just, there's not like we watch every Monday Night Raw, like we have no idea what's gonna be the episode. That's and then not in a good way.
I'm okay with that.
I like it. I like a certain amount of mystery, but it's simply the fact there's no long term idea of like, you know what? Okay, we're gonna build. Their idea of building is just strictly let's put him in a match. Let's put him in a match. Yeah, let's do an interview. Let's do a match. There's no depth to it.
What are the major storylines going into the pay per view right now?
John Cena.
Right. That's a decent storyline.
Brie Bella.
That's
we have the IC title one, right? Miz and
I think that's the low on the totem pole as far as stories go.
Well, then
Rollins and Superman.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
Reigns.
That's that wrote itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Randy Orton and Jericho, which is not a storyline.
Right. That's a grudge match.
From when?
From
last week.
Just him attacking him in the thing. It's just like a one-off.
And then we got the tag titles.
And you have Rusev.
Rusev and Mark Henry.
Which is like, they led up to it. I don't think that should have closed out Raw, though.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
Did you hear what the rumor was, why they did that? Because they're eventually leading this up to Rusev, John Cena.
That's fine.
Which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, fine.
But, okay, so that's
a weird
way
to end. It's just a weird way to, like, to segue in. It's like, there's, like, potentially this is going to be very important later on.
By the way,
everyone's investing into
the Star of Weirdos is Rusev.
Rusev and Lana.
Yeah. Star of Weirdos.
Nice. He can't paint the cars because he's too wide.
Yeah. Just watching him drive, that's so weird that you thought that, because in my head, it's just him driving.
Every picture I see of him is on Instagram with her, and they're like on a beach somewhere, and that dude is so wide.
That's a big dude.
He's one of the widest dudes I've ever seen. Like when he gets people in the, what's his finisher called?
The sit on your butt.
The sit on your, when he sits on your butt.
The accolade.
The accolade. When he does that, I feel like he's really hurting those poor bastards. Yeah. He's so, this, man.
Did you
big
see
man.
Talk about big, big talking dude. About big boys?
Big boy.
Did you see Vader?
Hey, he lost a bunch of weight.
Holy,
man.
He looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess.
He's only 50. What is he? 58? He's
maybe.
Not. He's not. I always thought he was a little older than that.
No, he's like he's in his 50s.
But he looked like the guy looks better than he did in his WWE run. I mean, he looks in unbelievable shape, and Kevin Nash too.
Yeah.
He's a big muscle boy now.
He's Vader's still bigger than probably anybody we know.
So big.
He slimmed down like 350, which is like
pretty awesome.
Hear somebody say I slimmed down 2-350. That's still a big dude.
A big boy.
I was listening to Steve Austin's podcast with Kevin Nash, and it was like a really bizarre interview because they didn't talk about wrestling at all. It was like two guys that have never seen wrestling doing a podcast.
What was this?
Steve Austin's podcast with Kevin Nash.
The new one.
The new one. Yeah, the new one. There's no wrestling talk at all. They talk about
he's been on a thousand
dieting.
Times, right?
What?
He's been on that show like 1,000 times, right?
I think it's his second time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's more than that.
It could be. It could be his third. Oh, you know why? Yeah, it was two parts. So
like
third,
run out
third
of stuff
show.
To talk about. Now it's time to talk about pasta.
So that's exactly, that's what they were doing. So
Fettuccine
Kevin Alfredo. Nash is like 293. I think like he's like 310 now. But it's like he's all jacked up. And Austin was saying, he's like, you know, I was like 285 a couple months ago, and he has slimmed down to 265 now.
Awesome.
Like, he's 265, this guy.
Yeah.
Think about the current roster and who's 265.
Drake Kelly.
Like, but like, think about it. Like, What? Who's 265 on that roster? Like
Ryback.
You got a lot. Yeah. Ryback?
Ryback's a big
maybe,
boy.
Yeah, but Ryback's like a big muscle head.
Big E.
Rusev. Okay, Big E.
Rusev.
Yeah.
Mark What's his name? Jack Swagger.
That's a big
Jack Swagger's a big guy, yeah.
He's a thick dude.
So yeah. Jack Swagger probably.
Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but like Luke I'm Harper. Talking like decent physique. Aaron like Williams. I'm talking like decent physique. John like Cena. Muscle 265. John Cena, yeah.
Goldust.
Goldust is not 265.
He's
a big
boy. Yes, he is. He's like 6'4".
Luke Harper. But
he's not a skinny man. He's got some meat on his
potatoes. I mean, like, he's a big guy, 265. And he's been saying he's getting back into ring shape.
Big Show Kane.
That's what they're teasing, that there's something happening where Austin's kind of...
Something. He's getting... Because isn't it interesting that they promoted Austin, Kevin Nash on Austin's podcast? They didn't even talk about wrestling. While Triple H did a phenomenal interview with Jericho. Two guys on the current roster was not promoted.
Yeah.
I think because that still, in their weird old school archaic mentality, that went against kayfabe by having them be really jovial with each other.
Yeah, but Steve Austin was talking about passing gas on this podcast. Like, it was weird. It was a weird podcast.
Did you just call him Steve Austin?
Yeah.
Stone Cold, bro.
Stone Cold. No, he was Steve on this one.
Okay.
But he's getting in shape. I do not envision a match at this year's WrestleMania for him. It's going to be the following one.
I would like to see him just get in shape where he can just interact with people. Like, if he has to take a bump for something, take a bump for something. I don't need to necessarily see him in a match, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, wait, like I would like to see him, like, be in, a GM position or doing some type of personality, like what Flair does every once in a while, and then lead up to a big Mania moment.
I don't
know who I'd have him fight, though.
Do you listen to Austin's podcast?
It's every once in a while.
Without a doubt, every single episode, he mentions about how long it took him to get wrestling out of his system, which makes me think he still wants
It's not out of his system.
Not out of his system at all. Every episode with any guest, he's like, you know, when I got it out, I finally got it out of my system. No, that's
how
not
How is
happening.
That possible?
I also think he lost
one match.
Yeah.
He's going to have one or a series of matches. Batista.
You know what he's saying? Know why he's going to do it? He's right, Batista. You know why he's going to do it? Because Hogan says he's going to do it. And like Hogan gets one more out of him, Austin can do one more out.
Yeah.
I don't see Hogan getting anything out
I
of
want
him.
Austin HBK.
Yeah, he's going to hit that leg drop. He's going to shatter. I mean, Austin, yeah, but like you have guys that...
I don't want to see The Rock come back. I'm okay with No Rock for a very long period of time.
Why?
Yeah, well, all right.
Because I see enough The Rock. It's not like, you know, like if Rock was in, like, some mountain somewhere, not doing anything, different story. Like, you can always see The Rock every 3 months when he puts out a new movie.
Okay, so I have a question
for
you guys.
I see them all.
When The Rock would stop wrestling, did you ever get that whole thing like, man, I wish The Rock was back? I've never felt that about The Rock. Like, I've always appreciated him come back. I he's a humongous star, but I've never been like, man, just one more Rock match.
No.
I got it.
You know what? Like, I love The Rock. Like, I love what this dude did for wrestling. And, like, his personality was one of the biggest personalities that's ever been in wrestling. But I've seen him do it all. Like, there's nothing else.
He had his one. I mean, if this last match that he had was his last match, I would be happy with it. He won the title. He wrestled CM Punk. He wrestled John Cena. He passed the torch to Cena. And then now he's gone.
Plus, he's exhausting. For me, he's exhausting. Like, when there's a lot of rock, that dude eats up 45 minutes of your program. Yeah, it's a lot of same stuff. Like, talking about pie. I think we should save our Rock talk because I feel it's on a Monday Night Raw war thing coming up, like, in a week or two. And I think we're going to have a lot to say about it because we're going to be exhausted by him.
Can I throw one thing in there about The Rock? Like, I don't get excited about thinking of a Rock match, although I would like to see one. When you hit the doldrums of the Monday and Raw... that's when I'm like, I wish The Rock would just come out and just like surprise the crowd and kind of like get everybody going again.
Like a backstage, even like a backstage interview.
Yeah, like the Mania stuff. Like, you know, like that stuff I want to see like once in a while. Gabe brought it up a little while ago, so we should bring it up. Monday at War, Bret Hart.
Yeah.
all right, so my biggest problem is the same thing I said on Facebook. I've said it before. Okay. The fact that they need to rehash the whole history within those first 20 minutes, the intro is them talking about...
Oh, Ted Turner.
Is the Ted Turner story, and then the next 10 minutes is another reinterpretation of the entire story that's happened. Like, you're invested. And someone else brought it up on Facebook, it's exactly like watching a Ken Burns documentary about the Civil War and you getting at the beginning of every episode another recap.
But it's like you're well, you hear the North's version of the Civil War.
Yeah,
you know.
But it's stupid also because it's like it's it did the in the first two episodes they've told the entire story and now we're taking you know
another 20 minutes.
We're taking every episode is another focus, you know, deep focus on one particular element.
This I also feel art. Like there's one interview in existence where. Turner's talking about I had a stroke.
Yeah,
Turner was talking about wrestling, and that's the one that they go to. Like, there's only one clip of him talking about professional wrestling, it seems like.
Yeah, where
it's so weird.
It's like I got into the wrestling and
I call Vince McMahon. You know, like but so here's my issue with this. For anybody who has not been following it, or you have watched it, or you haven't watched it, and you really don't know the story, go to Squared Circle on Reddit. And there is a piece from Dave Meltzer, what Dave Meltzer wrote about this.
It's on our Facebook page.
Is the Dave Meltzer clip on? Okay. Yeah. So here is my issue with this. I've read about the Monday Night War. Like, I know everything about it. The Montreal Screwjob, which that's what I'm going to focus on today. The Montreal Screwjob, we all know the facts. Mm-hmm. We all know what happened. The WWE, however, has changed the story into it being the simplest of his contract that was expiring on Sunday. We couldn't have him take the belt on Monday.
Right.
He had another month on his contract. There was a pay-per-view at the Garden in 3 weeks where he had wanted to drop the title there. And it was just, it ended up becoming a pissing contest where one wouldn't bend for the other one. And Vince McMahon had to put over the guy that was staying.
Here's the thing about it. Like, work or not. Everyone was a fucking asshole at that time.
Everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, like, everyone was on high tension when it came to the war. Brett was in an interesting position. And it's I feel, the more I read about Brett and the more, like, time goes away from the Montreal Screwjob.
You feel bad for him?
Yeah, I do. Especially because the tragedy he went through, you know, through his life. And also, like, he was the wrong guy, the right guy at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, he was a dude that came after Hogan. He's that guy who, like, represented the paradigm shift to where we got to.
So if he had come out like 10 years later.
But what's crazy is this is a guy who was underneath the superstars, like your Machos, your Hogans, your big, big dudes. He was around for all that stuff, the 80s superstar stuff. Yeah. And he saw how these assholes were getting everything they wanted. Like Hogan, every single time he wanted something, he got it.
Right.
That's it. And then it's his turn to be the asshole.
And he can't get any.
And he can't be the asshole.
Yeah.
And like the time is like, we don't got any money like we used to. We don't got Turner's money. And then we have HBK, who is the biggest asshole of all, dealing with his own egomania. Because everything you talk about, like the, and I'll talk, well, we'll talk in great deal about how the story is wrong. But the thing about the Brett story is the guy was, his whole reason why he had trouble was he felt he was being disrespected.
Yeah.
He felt that he didn't get what he deserved, which is a personal issue with yourself. Mm-hmm. That's your own personal demon you're trying to fight. And plus, when you're seeing like Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, being assholes who are friends with this asshole.
And then getting everything they want.
Getting everything. They got handed the world.
Yeah. It's a tough situation, too, because I think, you know, again, this is like my fan opinion, is that Bret Hart was such a wrestling purist.
Yeah.
Was that, I feel like a lot of that, the bad stuff didn't rub off on him. Like you said, like he couldn't be an asshole, A, because there was no money. I just really also don't think he had it in him to do that.
I think he did.
Not as much as everybody else. The really crazy part is him saying, I will drop this title to anybody you want.
Anybody Brooklyn, he said the Brooklyn Brawler. Yeah. He said he would drop it to the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah. And it had to be the one dude where they were like, no, it has to be Shawn Michaels.
Because that's the way, I mean, and that's another. That's,
well, that also goes down to like the reality is he got screwed on a couple of things. This entire resentment towards Shawn came from the Iron Man match. He dropped the title to Shawn, and then he was going to go away to do, I think it was like Nash Bridges. What was that movie, that TV show he was doing? On who? USA.
Who? Which one? Brett?
Brett, yeah.
I don't remember. I know you're talking about that.
So Brett.
Cowboy.
And yeah, he was a cowboy. I forgot what it was. So Brett had realized that his career's going to end soon and he needs to do something else.
I don't think he even thought about that.
No. It's in his documentary.
Yeah.
In his book. So he was going to go become an actor. And Vince took that as like you're another one. You're going to leave like Hogan. So while he was away, the agreement was that he was going to come back and he was going to get his rematch with Shawn. Mm-hmm. So while he's away, it's all about Shawn and Razor and Nash.
The other guys.
And like they kind of took over everything.
Mid-card.
The mid-card took over. So he stopped. Like, when they asked him to come back, what is that?
Man, pineapple, man.
My God.
That's a big tub of pineapple.
Hold that coconuts.
Jeez.
That was a distracting
hold
tub
your
of
coconuts.
Pineapple.
Hold the coconuts. Look at that. Stop. Look at that tub of coconuts.
Too bad you don't get a camera on there. Hold that. Hold it. Damn, man.
Pineapple, baby. Nectar of the gods.
So he went away, and then everybody else was getting it. And when he came back to get a side shot, they're like, yeah, no, we're going to work you in a program after. And he's like, no, that's not what we agreed on. Mm. So finally comes back time to him and Sean going at it. Sean decides he was going to go home and that his career was over, and he dropped the title so he doesn't drop it to Brett.
Right.
And then he was doing the backflip, you know, 2 months later. And he's like, look at my knee. I'm perfectly fine.
I want to go back a little bit to address what you're saying about. I do think he added him to be an asshole.
Okay.
I think he was bitter at that point where he hated the direction the entire business was going. Mm-hmm. Not just the idea that they were going into a more racy, less wholesome thing, and he couldn't be like, you know, the little, what was his fans called? Like, you know, little stingers, and they were like, you know, Hulkamaniacs. What was his fans called?
The little hitmen.
The hitters. the little killers. The little murderers. I think he was pissed off that the entire industry was going in a direction that he couldn't really see himself in, because he didn't really know how to adapt his character to this.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he felt he was owed something. And all that shit that he said on, like, you know, his promos, like, oh, you know, there's no heroes anymore and everything like
but
that.
But he believed that.
I completely believe it. And sometimes he's one of those guys who are so pious and so just, it gets in your way. I really do believe all the Sonny stuff with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That him and Sonny.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the story that she told on why they thought they were?
No.
Because they share a locker room.
I know that him, like, she used to, like, babysit his kids.
What I heard is that she didn't want to dress with the other dudes or whatever, and she wandered into Bret Hart's, like, private dressing room. He's like, you know, can I start, like, you know, dressing? And he was like, yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that became, like, a regular thing.
And then he did a rain dance. But the whole story, I mean, it's so sad.
Yeah.
But, like, they brushed over everything. Like, Triple H, like, the biggest balloon. Did you hear Triple H is part of this?
I agree with him.
Where he's like, and then Paul Heyman's right. Paul Heyman's like, he's the promoter. You're working for him. And this is the thing. Somebody once told me, a wrestler told me, that Canadians take wrestling really serious. Mm-hmm. And that they all count their wins and losses. Like, Chris Benoit and Chris Jericho would sit down and talk about their wins and losses.
It's the hockey thing.
And the guy would be sitting back and he's like, this isn't a real sport. Like, there's no wins and losses.
No, whose fault that is?
Oh.
Stu Hart.
Stu Hart, yeah.
Because he made a big deal to them.
Like, they would make a big deal out of wins and losses, the whole thing. So, like, to Bret Hart, he was really the world heavyweight champion of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to drop it to Sean. He felt like it's an honor to drop the belt. And I understand that to some extent. But Paul Heyman's point was absolutely right. The promoter is saying you're dropping the belt tonight.
Yeah.
The problem here was Bret Hart's contract, where it said the last 30 days, you have creative control over your wins and losses,
which
and the terms of
which would never happen,
which is actually a crazy term to have in your contract. Yeah. I'm sure they still have it to some extent.
That's an awesome term. That's smart on Bret Hart.
I mean, that's really smart. So technically, he could say no. I'm not gonna drop the belt. And they paid Bret Hart for that 3 weeks left in his contract. So it wasn't like he left.
The quote from Paul Heyman was really good. The whole thing, like, you know, I'm like, you're not going to do business, I'm going to do business for you. Well, yeah. was it Triple H who said that? If you're not going to do business, we're going to do business for you.
That was still Ponytail Triple H, right?
Yeah.
Because the rest of that was somewhere else. I forgot which DVD it was. I think it was a
Shawn Michaels from other stuff.
And it's him saying, like, the only three guys in the room were me. It was Shawn Michaels talking. It was me, Hunter, and Vince. And we didn't tell anybody.
Mm. I like Pat Patterson's reaction. He's like, no, I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, he was watching the monitors. Like, and then they were all gone. Like, where'd everyone go?
Earl Hebner is the greatest part of that. He single-handedly,
it's like watching like Goebbels after the. After
oh my
the
god!
Like, I was told what to do, and I just did it. I did my job.
No, he's the best. No, if you watch the clip of the mantra, I have to watch that again because it's so fast. Like watching people, everybody's so tense.
Yeah.
Like just watching that pay per view, everybody is so tense. Because they're expecting something to happen. Like, it wasn't even out of left field. Like, Bret Hart's reaction wasn't even like, holy crap, like, what just happened? He knew what was happening.
Yeah.
And Earl Hebner is the best thing. He shoots out of that building.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see him. He rings the bell, and he hops over, and he just runs to get out of there.
Hmm.
But the whole point about Bret Hart not wanting to lose in Canada plays a big part. Why did Vince McMahon want him to lose in Canada?
I don't think he... No, I think...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. So, WWE has always been really strong in Canada. WCW did jack in Canada.
Yeah.
They ran one big show.
Yeah.
They ran one big show, I believe, at the... I think it was at the Garden there, the Maple Garden.
They had a couple nitros in Canada.
Couple nitros, and they blew it all. They never ran Calgary. They never ran Montreal. I think they ran Montreal once. And the one show that they had that they could have sold out the Sky Dome, they just did a small one. They did 15,000 and they ruined the show anyway. So they never had a presence in Canada. Vince's mentality was, well, this is our stronghold. This is where we're winning. We don't want Bret Hart to go over and bring that audience with him. So we're going to have him lose in Canada. So when he goes, he's weaker. That's the wrestling mentality.
Okay.
That was his mentality.
You're entitled to that.
Yeah.
At that time, it's like, it was so cutthroat. You couldn't trust anybody. You didn't know who's going to be jumping ship or who he was working with who. It's a different time.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the circumstances
would never happen now.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just like, there's so many dudes at that point that have power over him. Like, there's no one backstage aside from John Cena that has any degree of real, true power beyond creative and beyond, like, Hunter and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back then, like, you had to deal with, like, egomaniacs.
Everything was
popular. Everybody was crazy.
Everyone was greedy, and everyone wanted to get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. And everyone was willing to talk to the internet and, like, leak stuff. And it was, like, a new time.
Everybody was calling Meltzer.
McMahon was having, like, a nervous breakdown at that time. Like, that's what I'm saying. But that's what bugs me about the Monday Night War stuff is that his narrative is so cool and clutch. It's like, oh, no problem.
I knew we
would win.
Take
my guys. We were really doing bad.
I had Steve Austin.
Yeah. So the other part in that thing was the whole fear that he would take the belt with him.
Yes.
It would have never happened. He would have never shown up because he couldn't legally, because there were already injunctions put in place from the last two times that happened.
Right.
So that wasn't going to happen. And the fact that Eric Bischoff gave him extra time to lose at the last pay-per-view, it says so much.
It's really nutty. Do you think it was a work? And if so, why?
So the inside of me, I want it to be a work for one reason, because everything is so open now about the business and the whole thing about kayfabe is that this would be a great, great explanation of one thing that they stuck with and everybody believed it and everybody, they just kept at it and they never, it's like the whole thing, like wrestling is real. Wrestling is real. Wrestling is real. Yeah. This is their wrestling is real. That's the only reason.
I think in my heart of hearts, I think it's a work.
Okay.
Because it on paper, think about this. Like, Vince calling Bret into the office with Sean, like, this is what we're going to do. Like, you're going to, this way, it looks like you keep your pride. You were jerked over. You're the victim in the situation. You go over the other company. You do a lackluster job. You tell me what's going on there. And eventually you're a legend here again.
Mm-hmm. So my idea is that the only person that knows it's a work is Vincent Bret Hart.
Oh, and then he didn't tell Sean and Bret.
He didn't tell.
Yeah. I can see that.
Everybody was kept out of the loop. Like, they know, everybody knows a piece of it, but not the whole thing.
Especially that era of Vince where he was playing all the different sides and he was like, had to manipulate the hell out of everybody.
He's a businessman.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, he's a businessman dealing with dudes who are not businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he probably had one or two of them in his back pocket. I honestly think it was just Bret and Sean, not because, and the reason why is that if it wasn't a work, and this has been talked about for the past 20 years, wouldn't Bret hoot and keep hooting and hollering about it? Because he just kind of stopped talking about it, and now that he got brought back into the fold, his interviews are just like, yeah, it was what it was.
We're over. Yeah, we're over.
I also think a lot of bad happened. I think Owen. Owen hurt a lot of it. Like, I still feel like he would have been brought back.
I had a weird thought yesterday when I was watching this thing. Just imagine Bischoff found out at the last moment that this was a work. Like, he somehow found out that our version of the story is real, and like only Bret and Vince were in on it. And then he told Goldberg, go out there and hurt him. No,
yeah, but the Goldberg thing was a while ago.
That's like the extension of it.
Kick his head off.
I think it was just like, listen, this is gonna happen. Take a nice 3-week vacation. We'll still pay you. You know,
Then go to WCW, and then after your 2 or 3 year contract, you come right back.
Makes Bret look like the hero.
Yeah.
Makes Shawn look like the ultimate scumbag going into Mania with Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect storm that I think only a businessman.
Yeah.
Could pull off.
There's a good quote from HBK in that moment too.
Did it have a lot of uhs and ums?
No,
guy can't even talk.
He's
anymore.
Much more coherent nowadays as opposed to that Bret.
No. Have you heard him like?
Yeah. But that's part of his. That's just like part of his. You know the way he speaks. I speak a certain way. He speaks a certain way. He said, "Oh, what was the line?" He's like, you know, at the time, you know, I knew it was going to be a big deal, but I never thought it'd be something I'd be talking about every interview I do for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because that is. I mean, like, he had such a storied career, too. And both of them had such a storied career. And, like, there was so much going on both sides. But, like, this story, like, of this thing, we're still freaking talking about it. It's still mystifying that. Because there's I don't think we'll ever have a moment like that ever again.
Everybody gets.
I hope we do,
too. That's the thing. Like, every wrestler, who has made it, who's a made guy, has that one thing that they will never, ever live down with the fans. That fans will ask them about. Hell in a Cell. I think for Austin, honestly, I think it's the beer truck.
That's the always show. Or him stunning Vince McMahon for the first time.
Yeah, but I like more so like it's like for a fan question, you know?
Yeah,
it's
the
like,
beer truck.
It's the beer truck. Jeff Hardy,
Zamboni,
20-foot table.
Yeah.
Steve Blackman, the kendo. Shane McMahon and Steve Blackman when he hit him with the kendo and Shane fell down, like 100 feet. In the WWE's. Storytelling.
Everybody has that one giant like moment, and it's that one thing that's. I think that's going to be remembered for. And Hogan becoming Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah. Speaking of Hell in a Cell, you watched the Foley one, right? The Running Out War, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I felt like there was a little bit more footage, like new footage with him in this, but that Hell in a Cell still gets me every single time.
I think it's the JR's.
The way they presented it on this, I forgot who they cut to when the first initial drop happens. They cut to like one wrestler now making a statement about it, and it was so right on and so perfect. It was like, wow, like it really is like one of the scariest,
because
weirdest.
It was unexpected, right? Like I remember watching the pay per view. Like I actually remember watching that pay per view, and I remember they went on top, and then I thought, wow, this is really stupid. So they're going to have to climb back down.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking that. And I saw him like teetering. I'm like, no, he's not going to fall. Like he's probably going to dangle. Like I thought he'd probably like almost fall and then dangle and then slowly drop
down.
That's
what he said he was supposed to do originally.
He took a flip onto the table. JR sold that thing.
Oh, yeah.
So well.
Because it's scary as shit. Like I don't think there's anyone in that place thought that he was going to walk away from that.
You know what always gets me about that match too? That I always forget
the comeback,
the thumbtacks.
No, you know what? You know what?
Yeah, man, it's three things. It's the it's the fall, the initial fall,
right?
The return to get the drop, and then those friggin' thumbtacks at the end,
and with like no energy left, this dude's just like,
you know what? You know what? So my focus was the fact that there was such a scramble at that point because they probably legitimately thought that he got hurt. Like they probably knew that he was going to do a spot, but. He got hurt. They started raising the cage with the Undertaker still on top of the cage. And he's doing this weird thing, like, because he has to, like, he can't be like, oh, you know? Like, so he's still, like, kind of in character and just looking around, like, hoping someone notices that he's there. Mm-hmm. And then he actually goes to start climbing down while the cell is being raised, and then they start dropping it.
It's a maniac.
Yeah.
It was so weird. That was the weirdest part.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The thing also about the Undertaker is his initial reaction. Which is priceless. Where it kind of dropped. Like, the Undertaker character kind of dropped.
Yeah, he's like, he was crap.
He was shocked. I don't... The story,
oh, the tooth in the nose.
The story is that no one knew about this, right? Except for Taker? Or did he tell Taker at the moment?
They had decided that they were going to do, like, a big spot, but they hadn't decided on what. And they had told Vince that there was going to be, like, a big spot.
But the two of them knew.
Taker and Foley would
know. But that shocking face just says a different story. He just looks so like, I just killed a guy.
Yeah.
Because like, Undertaker just killed a man on television.
I mean, you could discuss it all you want, right? Like, you could talk about it all you want that, okay, now you're going to throw me over. I'm going to fall on the table and it's going to break my fall. But the sheer impact of it, entire place erupting and the thud, just like him dropping. But it
also goes along with the way Foley falls, because Foley has that bottom heavy, you know, sandbag thing going on.
I was convinced that he was wearing like pillows on his bottoms.
He's never a fat guy.
Bottoms.
He's like the nutty professor.
It's a padded bottom.
Yeah.
That and on the, you guys ever watched the Foley, the Blu-ray that came out with the documentary?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a great bit with Triple H where they talk about the Hell in a Cell again, and he's like, and you know what? I pulled up to the arena on Monday, and I see Mick backstage. Like, this guy came to work the next day. Like, hey, what's up? Like, so how insane is that? It'll never ever happen again.
So incredible.
No, because you got to, and you also have to remember, like, talk about, like, wrestling now. Like, the punches are weak. Have you noticed that, like, and they rely on the shaky cam too much? Mm. Like, drop kicks aren't connecting. Like, nothing connects like they did because they've realized that, like, okay, we got to play it safe. I don't want to give him a concussion. I don't want to hit him. So the camera makes up for it, which I kind of understand. But, like, think about the concussion rate in that era for a wrestler and compare it to now. Like, how many, we know every time Dolph Ziggler gets a concussion because he's not on TV. Think about how many times people were getting concussions and, like, they would just go out and do whatever they were doing.
I miss those days.
Everybody was concussed.
Everybody was concussed and pilled up.
Yeah. That was the thing that came.
Fanny pack. I want to bring the fanny pack back.
Go ahead, man.
That was the...
Yeah. Would you judge? Like, I just want a fanny pack and just pills.
They're back.
I wouldn't judge.
Fanny packs are back with the pills?
Yeah.
Is that what people are carrying gimmicks inside of the fanny? Like regular people?
Regular human beings are walking around with fanny packs again.
Regular people don't call them gimmicks.
I don't know. I'm not checking the fanny packs.
Yeah, let me check. That's your pickup line.
Let me check your fanny pack.
That's your Tinder pickup line.
It's my swipe.
So let's we'll get back to the old stuff, but why don't we talk about Brock Lesnar and this pay per view?
Are you afraid?
Coming up?
Are you afraid
that he's going to lose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you afraid?
I don't know. It's not real. So do I want to see Cena lose again? Yes, I want to see Cena get demolished. But I do think they're going to put the title back on him. Have him be. I don't want to talk to your ass, Andrew. No, I'm right. Have him be. Thank you. 16-time world champ, and then that's it for a while.
I hope they go along with the story that he gets his ass kicked. Like he puts on a better match this time. Like he puts more of a. I guess more work into the match.
More of a fight.
More of a fight. Yes. Thank you. But I think he's going to get his arm broken or something that's going to take him off TV for a bit.
I agree with that. I would hope so.
I hope that's the story that they go with him.
I also think that there's a possibility that Seth Rollins may cash in.
On who?
Whoever.
I mean, I could see them doing Lesnar. Is he tying with Flair or is he beating Flair? He's tying. Okay, yeah. So I could see them. I could see, like, Brock Lesnar just demolishing him the entire match, and at the end something happens and he pins him, right?
Or,
and then Seth Rollins comes in, cashes in, beats John Cena, gets the title,
and then Monday Brock Lesnar shows up and executes his rematch clause and takes out Seth Rollins.
Yeah, something like that.
But I don't think, see, the thing is that from everything I read about the WrestleMania plans and the whole nine is that they have Brock on this long-term thing. That's why they had the coronation ceremony with him, and that they have him as like, okay, we signed a new contract with you. Why take the belt off him at this point?
Yeah.
Like, you have him looking so freaking strong now.
And it makes, and it's, for the first time in a long time, the world champion is the strongest guy in the company.
He's Mike Tyson.
He's Mike Tyson.
He's Iron Mike Tyson in his prime. Like, it's, they've, as anti-Undertaker winning, you know, losing at WrestleMania I was, this story, if done well, is an awesome championship story where it's like the undefeatable heavyweight. This is a big, scary dude.
So would, if he did not beat Undertaker at WrestleMania, would the importance of him having the title now and him being a monster mean as much?
As long as this Cena thing happened, I think you look tremendous. I just think it adds the legend of Brock Lesnar at this point.
I'll agree with that. I also think that this was in place for Daniel Bryan originally, where he was supposed to take the massive beating and then rally it up and then go after him at Night of
Champions. Which is a great story, too.
Which
That's a phenomenal story.
If he does come back within the next like 3 to 4 months, maybe, I would love to see that still happen to him, where he goes, like, you know, I was a champion, fights Brock Lesnar, loses terribly, and then comes back.
He's never, you know, Daniel Bryan has never lost the title, the WWE title. He's never lost it. He's gotten stripped twice.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first time?
When he beat him, and then Triple H, he had to like give it up on Monday, which was so weird.
Yeah. No, he lost it to the got cashed in. He got cashed in by Orton. That was the last time he got it.
No,
that was the
he beat Cena.
He did Mania. He won it at Mania.
Yeah. And that was it.
Yeah. And then
before that, he fought Orton. He fought Cena. Orton had Money in the Bank.
Oh, that was the first one.
Yeah, and then he
and Triple H screwed him. Yeah.
Yes, that's when he turned and everything. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
I know your history. It's only a few months ago.
Well, that seems like such a long time.
I know. But I'm just curious what they're gonna do. At the end of Raw, he looked weak at the end of Raw, so in that segment with Cena and him.
Yeah.
Brock, because remember, he beat him up.
But he was smiling. He did the Brock smile.
He did, but to me, that means, okay, so Cena got over on him, so he's going to beat Cena.
But we can't ever go by that rule.
They still do.
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, you never know how they're going to play that thing. And I think that because Heyman's so involved in this thing, is that he has a little bit more ear to McMahon saying, okay, maybe this is a good idea if we do this, we do that. Like, make it look like, you know. Because, like, remember, like, the Cena match when Cena had to turn around on Brock that 1 second, and Brock did the Undertaker sit up. Yeah. Like, you could very well see that happening all over again with this match.
That was awesome.
So
I hope that he starts. I hope he starts doing that in every match.
Oh yeah,
the Undertaker sit up. Yeah. Like, he took that from him. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
But that's the thing. We were just at the beginning of the possibility for an awesome reign. Like, I was. Mm-hmm. I am not a Brock Lesnar fan, but I become one because of what's been going on the last few months.
Yeah.
They've proven to me, as someone who didn't grow up like seeing him develop into the dude he is now, that he is a big, scary dude.
That's a big dude.
And there really hasn't been a champion, especially a heel champion, that's like that. We've had tons of like the weasel heel holding the title, or the guy who won through circumstances, your Randy Orton and stuff like that. This is a dude who can back it up. Like, this guy is the Hulk.
Yeah,
when it comes to the roster.
I don't think he's going to be champion by Mania. I think there's going to be Brock Taker too.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to see it anytime soon. I want Undertaker to take his sweet ass time. I don't feel he should be rushed to WrestleMania.
It's 1 year, man. Take a year off.
Go another one.
Thing. You think he's going to do it? I don't know if Undertaker's going to have another one.
I think that's, you know, like.
Who are the possibilities beyond Brock and Cena right now as a champion? If they're not going to have him.
See, that's the problem. Nobody.
Yeah. If he's
Randy
not,
Orton?
Yeah, if you drop the belt to Cena this Sunday.
Okay. Then who does Cena feud with?
You know, you could have him, you could have Seth Rollins waste his Money in the Bank.
Right.
Or you could have Rusev go into a program with Rusev.
I think Rusev's destiny has to be in him winning the U.S. title.
Yeah. First, like baby steps.
Yeah, give
no,
him,
no,
give
he's
him
not going to win the title. He's just going to feud with Cena.
But that's taking away the whole steam of him. Like, you need to have this guy have a belt and be top of the game. Like, him disrespecting the U.S. belt would be so awesome.
Well, if Batista's another, Batista would be a good for Cena.
I don't think he's going to do it.
No.
I think he's going to be way too busy with all the Marvel stuff. Yeah. And Marvel doesn't want him associating with them anymore.
Bad News Barrett. Cesaro.
Has come back though,
yeah.
But I mean, you're talking about mega main events. I mean, you're talking about your world title. You have two monsters. Okay, so let's say he beats Cena now. What does he do now?
What does
Brock do?
I'm okay with throwing him.
Anybody?
Know, yeah, you're due to the month, just destroying people month to month basis.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, but you need to run a program though. Remember that. So you have. Who is he going to feud with?
Doesn't matter.
I'm not even talking about like a one off match. Like, you need to create a program for two shows.
Right.
Mm. So I don't know what the next two shows are.
Bray Wyatt, The Rock, Roman Reigns.
Rock's not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Roman Reigns, you cannot waste that on Roman Reigns now because his destiny is that WrestleMania moment.
They're screwing him up. They're telling you they're going to drop the ball with Roman Reigns so hard. They're like so close to doing like the overexposure where the fandom feels like they're going to, that knee-jerk reaction, like you're pushing him too hard to me.
I think the
road's too long at this point.
I think that's going to be over on Sunday once Ambrose comes back, because that takes off.
That's true. Yeah,
Weird fan pressure off of Roman Reigns,
because he's not there. Like, I do think he's going to be at a point where he's going to be fantastic, but he's got such a long way to go.
You know what I think they're going to do? I think it's going to be Night of Champions going to turn into a DQ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cena's going to win via DQ.
So dumb.
Like, and Cena goes crazy on him.
No, Cena wins with a DQ.
Oh, okay.
So something right. happens, somebody gets DQ.
Regardless, maybe this is when he, maybe this maybe is when he'll snap and he snaps the chair or whatever.
And the next pay-per-view, October 26th, Hell in a Cell. And that's okay. that's the culmination of everything.
Yeah.
But the way that they're talking about his body right now is that he can't go that long. Like, he's not going to make it to, like, a match of Hell in a Cell. And, like, honestly, man, do you think that's a really good match, Hell in a Cell, John Cena and Brock Lesnar in Hell in a Cell?
Nah.
Like, don't waste that. Use Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose in Hell in a Cell.
Those dudes
or the three of them in the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. Those dudes need time. Like, Cena needs time off, man.
Yeah. And then you have Survivor Series, which you don't need to defend the title. You'll have a mixed tag belt match for that.
What's the next one? Hell in a Cell?
Hell in a Cell.
The smart way to book this sucker is, instead of Brock and everything else, when you have Dean Ambrose return at the pay-per-view, if he doesn't, you messed up. Give it up. That Roman would get pissed off at Dean Ambrose for interrupting, you know, their match.
And do a three-way.
And then have them build a three-way towards Hell in a Cell. Is it first ever three-way in Hell in a Cell?
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. And they'll put on an incredible match.
Yeah.
I feel like we still denied that. I feel like these guys are built to eventually all feud with each other.
Yeah, the triple threat.
Yeah.
The ongoing triple threat.
This is a weird period for wrestling because everything is building up to
Big Show
Royal Rumble.
Big Show's supposed to have a run again also.
Big Show's supposed to have a run again. So everything's building up to Rumble. So, like, it's that weird, like, the summer, the big finish for the program.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Yeah, the big finish for WrestleMania is SummerSlam, right? Like, you create the new angles after WrestleMania, and then you finish it off in SummerSlam. Now, like, you're waiting to do Rumble, and Daniel Bryan will most probably come back.
But the thing is, like, when you're waiting for Rumble, this is a terrible part of the way that they script it, the way that they're structured, is that you're waiting for Rumble, and all Rumble is the next step into Mania. Like, you're thinking, because you're planning so far ahead where you're not worrying about the minutiae of the next few months. You're like, oh, okay, no problem. Like, we'll book towards Rumble. Roman Reigns winning the Rumble.
Yeah.
Mania. We got it all figured out. There's so much other shit you got to worry about. And making Big Show a Brock Lesnar opponent at the next pay-per-view is a stupid idea. And I think that's what they would, like, their fail-safe is. Like,
another big guy. Yeah. So what do you do? But here's the thing, though. If John Cena can't beat Brock Lesnar, how is it believable that somebody else can?
But that's the
story. I'm talking about the storyline, right? Like, how are we going to believe that if he goes into a match with Cesaro, let's say he goes into a match with Roman Reigns, I could get behind because you haven't seen what this guy's capable of. You've never seen his potential. They have to keep that safe. But someone like The Big Show, someone like Mark Henry, how can we believe that this is a legitimate world title match if John Cena, their superhero, was killed by this guy?
Yeah.
What I would have done was the opposite. I would have had them have John Cena have a normal fight with him and lose. And then this one would be the killing where he would just destroy him in, like, you know, a couple minutes because he was so banged up from the previous battle. And just Brock Lesnar's a monster. He just keeps coming back. He just keeps coming back.
But that's okay. I'm telling you, go the Iron Mike way. Like, you knew Mike Tyson was going to win every single match.
But you still watched it.
You still showed up for it.
I think they should end their feud with an I Quit match and have Cena finally give up.
He's never,
That's what I would hope this
would be.
That'd
be awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I hope he breaks his arm. Like, I hope there's something where he, like, you know.
He goes away.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to be some tarnish on the Cena character at this point.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really good first step of having him being demolished for the first time.
Right.
You haven't seen a paper, like a main event like that forever. The next step is take this guy's rhetoric and really make, if you want to make this guy an underdog, make him the underdog by having him squashed again. He's gonna, if you want him to do like another program with Brock Lesnar down the line or whatever,
yeah,
fine. Let him do his underdog later on. But the guy needs to be checked right now.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I don't know if the company sees that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a problem.
But, like, I agree that he needs to just go away for a couple of months, rehab it, let some other dude step up, create better storyline,
and do the return.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna love it. Even us fans, us guys who are not big fans of John Cena, would probably get a little excited to see him in 5 months from now make a run in
the Rumble. He wins the Rumble again.
Oh,
who? No, Daniel Bryan. That's going to be Daniel Bryan.
I know this guy's a big fan of Cena at Rumble Returns.
I am. Apparently, it is the top Rumble Return of all time. That's what WWE says.
Why? Yeah.
It's a pretty. I think it's a pretty exciting thing, but I don't think it's. I don't think it ranks in top five. No way.
No. Road Dogg returning was my favorite.
Pretty good.
Road Dogg returning. My favorite Rumble moment is when Road Dogg was
under the rope for
under
the
rope for about an hour and a half, yeah. covering like hugging the post.
It's the CM Punk method.
The CM Punk. Well, he did the Road Dogg method.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, it's a little worrying because now, who do you put Brock against? And if you are going to have Daniel Bryan and Brock,
NYC Chris.
Is that the WrestleMania moment?
NYC Chris has the right idea. They'll probably do like Sheamus and Brock. Sheamus probably going to drop the title to Cesaro. Mm-hmm. And then have a nice little Sheamus run towards the title.
Not unbelievable. See, I think they dug themselves they painted themselves into a corner here. Why? Because where do you go with the title picture from like these behemoths fighting each other? Regardless of who wins, what do you do?
There's no one else.
You know, except for a returning Daniel Bryan is the only one who could take on either one because he still has unfinished business with Cena. He never lost his belt.
They could do so much with this stuff too. Is like you can even have Bryan work the program with him not wrestling and have him show up and like Brock it in his face and he's like, no, I'm not cleared for medical.
He's
and
just the whole taunting.
And he's wearing like the neck brace and he shakes him around. He wears the crown and he's like shakes his head. Remember the Pitbull 2 thing when he's like couldn't an Iron Halo and he's like couldn't shake his head. And he came out and shaked his head.
I don't know. it's a little concerning to see what the picture is going to be for the title.
That's the least of my concerns. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in them telling long term storytelling or building towards an awesome payoff. I think we've been blessed with a few surprises every once in a while that make us, you know, reignite the hope for us.
Yeah.
But I think that as long as Brock walks away a monster from that thing, I'm okay. I think things will fall into place naturally. All the other shit you gotta worry about. And stop thinking just strictly for Mania.
That's the thing, yeah. But I think we're conditioned with that. You know, we're conditioned to be, as fans, to be like, oh, well, this is their, like, they always have a long-term plan, this is their plan. But a lot of monkey wrenches have been thrown into any plan that they've had this year.
You don't just work for Endgame. Like, you have an entire year of programming, which has these chapter ends. You have 12 chapter ends throughout the whole storyline with one big payoff.
Right.
Like, you need, and you have 4 weeks of programming between each of those chapters.
In 1 year, they lost 3 former world champions.
Yep.
Who?
Del Rio.
Right.
Punk.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
I mean, in 1 year.
Yeah.
It's a really nice statistic. Plus, like, you're the guys who come and go. Jericho comes and goes. RVD comes and goes. That last RVD run was a little shitty, though.
Yeah, it was bad.
He did some cool stuff. He did the Money in the Bank. He was awesome.
And I don't think they're pushing who needs to be pushed, like Bray Wyatt, I think, needs to be pushed a little bit more.
They have no idea what to do with him.
Yeah.
They have, like, those guys have collectively fell into, like, a weird creative rut.
Yeah.
And I think exactly what you're saying, too, is that they're not putting the focus on the right things. Like, a main event this week, it was Big E and Seth Rollins had an awesome match.
Mm.
Awesome match. He's a talent. Like, Big E was the biggest thing in the world, like, a few months ago. His talent hasn't changed anything. It's your focus. It's what you choose to do with the dude is the big deal. I don't think we should be relying on after how long has Sheamus been around for?
2009?
God, like 10 years. Sheamus has been around forever, like 8 years,
and he's doing nothing different. Like, he's the same show. You've seen Sheamus. Like, the good thing about Sheamus is every once in a while you put him with a really good dude and you'll get a great match out of him.
Dependable.
Yeah, he's a dependable guy, but he's not a guy who you want as, like, you want Sheamus in like a Mark Henry role. Like, every once in a while, you card him out, you do some cool stuff. The thing about Mark Henry, he's awesome on the mic every once in a while.
Right.
But the that focus, because he's an old world champion and he still has a belt, is such a waste of a 20-minute block of programming.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good, the Mark Henry role is a good placeholder. And I think I'll throw Big Show in there, too. Yeah. Jack Swagger and Sheamus. Like, you need those guys, you need those big dudes to work with, like, the more athletic guys.
But you know what's interesting about that role? Like, Sheamus will go down as a forgotten world champion in a weird in-between phase.
I don't know.
Like, do you remember his like WWE championship run?
I remember he won the Rumble a couple years ago.
He was feuding with Triple H.
Yeah.
He had that thing. That's how he started out.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be like a forgotten time for a lot of people, like The Miz, him, Del Rio.
Yeah.
These are not.
They're not going to let you forget about either of these guys. I'm telling you, these guys are going to be rammed down our throats until they're dead and gone.
Oh, Miz will be around for a very long
time. Yeah.
He's going to be a commentator. He's going to do the whole rigmarole.
This is the best of the Miz stuff, I think. I enjoy this. I enjoy the crap out of it. I also am a big fan. They finally found something to give R-Truth.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
I think everything is working kind of organically with the four of them. I think like those are one of those like happy accidents. Kind of like the way I feel about Slater Gator and Rose and the Bunny. I
love those dudes.
I love Slater Gator. I'm telling you, Slater Gator, give them an opportunity, New Age Outlaws.
So,
no.
do you think the day after Mania is when we're going to see the like the Steens and all of them come up?
No.
No.
Not for a long time. If Sami Zayn and Andrew Neville aren't here yet, it's not happening yet. You still have to introduce these dudes and have them have a nice presence. They've talked in the last few weeks about NXT becoming its own brand and being the WCW to the WWE.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Now, do we need to bring these guys up now? Because initially, it was... The whole thing was, well, we don't want guys just to stay in NXT. Like, that's not the goal of NXT. Because they get paid like $50,000 a year. We don't want guys to stay there.
Right.
We want guys to come up. But is it necessarily a bad thing if you got people like Tyson Kidd doing phenomenal stuff? You know they're going to do well there. But if you bring them up, they're going to get lost in the shuffle. But you have this great talent.
Yeah.
Why not create a separate brand?
I think as long as they have something to supplement. Like, I think at this point, you could rationally move up Sami Zayn. I think he is the biggest candidate to move up. He's been there long enough. He's done a lot of stuff. But I think they won't do it before putting a title on him.
Yeah.
I think they'll only move people up if they have major guys to replace those. And that's where Steen and Devitt, Kenta come in.
To fill the NXT gap.
Yeah, you have to. Because there is only so much you could do in that hour programming. You can't just rely on Mojo Rawley and
Enzo Amore.
And Enzo Amore.
But, I mean, are the guys like Mojo and Bull Dempsey going to be pushed away? That's the thing. I think we are. I think they're going to get away with, unless you're really standing out, you're going to be gone.
The hiring freeze is bullshit because they've hired, like, quietly a bunch of, like, indie guys in the last few weeks, like, William Mack is one guy that they've signed on. Who's incredible. Who's
gonna be athletes too.
Yeah, and like they're hiring that German football player dude. And I think they're being overly careful and for the right way. Like I think where we're so impatient, we want to see these dudes debut.
Yeah, yeah.
They're being extra careful because they can really milk this for as long as they want.
Yeah,
like the Kenta storyline. Like the what was the last time you saw a team lose at the beginning of the show and then reuse later on for a different program altogether? You are at the end of a storyline and the beginning of a storyline in one single pay-per-view.
That's the way it should be done.
Yeah, man.
I think.
I think the idea with Ascension and Kenta is going to work out where that this way Kenta is going to pull in either Devitt or Steen to tag him. Probably Devitt because he's the...
I was thinking it was going to be William Regal.
No way.
That's what I thought. That's what I took from this.
I think it's going to be Devitt. I'm a big fan of the Ascension.
It's good to see him work on the mic.
Gigantic dudes.
Yeah.
I think Vince probably loves Connor.
He loves him, yeah.
I wish he wore the cape. He used to wear a cape.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone
come over with like a giant...
I miss
like,
when they were vampires.
I would rather...
Yeah. They were like goth vampires. That's how they came out.
Vampires don't work. Gangrel was the only one.
And he didn't really work either.
Yeah, well, he was fortunate to be in the Attitude
Era. He was the ugliest, most overweight vampire I've ever seen in my life.
He was supposed to be the guy who came out of that group, though.
When he debuted.
When him, Edge, and Christian were the brood, it was supposed to be the vehicle for Gangrel to be a main eventer.
Yeah, those guys were the guys that he was supposed to be beating the crap out of.
Yeah. But he was older. I think that was his problem. Yeah. He was much older.
He was ugly as shit.
And that was his gimmick from like forever. Like that's all he did was be a vampire.
He looks like a vampire.
He's terrifying. And then he married Luna.
Mm-hmm. He was always a vampire.
He was always a vampire.
Even when he didn't come out and do the blood.
Do you remember the weird copyright thing with his name? The Gangrel name?
No.
Where in the WWE video game it said like Gangrel is like a character of something something. Like, it was weird. Like, the WWE did not own the rights to the term Gangrel. Like, I think they were releasing it. There was something weird with that.
I can guarantee you I've never used Gangrel in a sentence outside of referencing the wrestler.
That movie was really Gangrel. Maybe it was like a forgotten term.
Girl, bye. There's going to be some wrestler named Girl, bye in a few years.
You watching NXT later?
Yeah.
Kendrick's great. Debut tonight.
Is he wrestling?
Yeah.
Who's he wrestling?
Ascension.
Oh, they filmed it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is done for the month.
So who did he wrestle? Ascension?
No, I think he wrestled some other dude. Probably the
Black Eye White Guy.
Black Eye White Guy.
Yo, man, Black Eye White Guy is a good, solid team.
Girl bye.
White Guy is really talented. Black Eye not so much.
Can we also talk? It's kind of weird, like we're talking about like all these dudes debuting in NXT, but they somebody spoiled an Impact debut at a taping last night. The Funkasaurus.
Yeah.
Showed up at TNA Impact.
Yeah, geez.
I saw a great bit today. Because I don't watch TNA at all, of Kevin Nash and some black dude talking about him being Macho Man.
Jay Lethal.
Yeah, where he's like
Black Machismo.
Yeah. So he's like, he's like this, yeah, you know, what's the thing about Macho Man that, you know, that's not like us? He's not black, you know, like me. Like, you know, I'm getting whiter and whiter, like Michael Jackson nowadays. It was an awesome, like, 15-minute segment of Kevin Nash being really, really funny with Jay Lethal.
He's a funny dude. Go look up all the...
I saw the Flair impressions.
His Flair impressions were good, but look up all the Black Machismo stuff. Because he hit the way he does the face and he comes to the ring, perfect. Oh, so and he had a good run as Black Machismo. And that's also when Sharkboy was Sharkboy 316.
Hey, why don't we talk about the Lucha Underground show?
Yeah.
You want to touch on that for a second?
Absolutely.
Isn't that? I think it's pretty cool.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it's very interesting. I love El Rey. I think I mentioned that.
I don't have El Rey.
Neither do I.
Oh, that's right. You guys are suckers with Verizon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With your underground wires. My wires go through the sky, baby.
And give off terrible internet.
Yeah, so we don't get it, but we are going to get it, I think, on Univision. Is it Univision their parent company?
Yes.
So we're going to get the Spanish version on Univision.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I hit it to, I do SAP. Like, if I do SAP on it, it'll go to English.
I don't think SAP works that way.
Why couldn't it?
I'm pretty sure SAP doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. The only thing is, like, I hear that their budget is terrible and they can't hire dudes for shit.
Yeah, but, I mean, you get... They're filming one-offs. I mean, they're going to film, like, everything in one day. It's going to be like that Wrestling Society X show. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
On MTV? Yeah. And then they dropped it after a season.
So terrible.
Yeah, but it was weird.
It was awful, too, because the dudes Teddy on that
Hart.
Show...
That was it.
Weren't wrestling with their real... Like, I think Colt Cabana was on that.
Yeah, they had, like, weird names. Teddy Hart was on it.
Yeah.
I can't think of who else.
There's a few dudes who were just, like, they couldn't be
X-Pac.
Who they were.
I think X-Pac was there.
He was Rex-Pac.
Rex-Pac. The Kid. I think he was, like, The Kid.
The already thing's cool. I think it's going to appeal to, like, the Spanish audience. The first report was, like, this is not Lucha. You sold us a sham.
Who said that?
A bunch of people in the audience were just like, this isn't like your typical Lucha show. It's more like an Americanized version of it.
Yeah, but that's what they're doing. I mean, AAA isn't the typical Lucha.
Hmm.
I mean, the other one, CMLL is more Lucha than anything else.
Lucha.
Let's see who's signed on to this.
Matt Stryker.
Matt Stryker. Oh, no, I'm looking at Wrestling Society X. Vampiro was on it.
Yes.
They also had musical guests. He was Six-Pac. That's what he was. He was Six-Pac. Vampiro. And then 3-6 Mafia was the musical guest. And then they had El Hombre Blanca versus the Human Tornado. I don't know who the Human Tornado is.
It's Tornado, bro.
Arky Cannon versus B-Boy. I don't know who that is.
It's basically backyard wrestling.
That never aired... It was an exploding cage match.
Wow.
And they never aired it. They got canceled before
that. What was your backyard wrestling name?
Kaiser Black.
Kaiser Black.
Kaiser Black.
That was the one you were doing the stuff. Like.
Yeah. And my finisher was the Blackout, spinning powerbomb.
Uh-huh. Mine was Ricky the Bandito.
Spinning sit-down powerbomb, and my theme music was Blackout by David Bowie.
I like it.
And I was part of the... of Newman's Flock. It was a Raven.
Because he was Raven.
Yeah. He was Raven. Exactly Raven.
Awful. Good
times.
Awful.
Lost a tooth for that stuff, man.
Did you?
Yeah, man. I got hit in the face with a metal sign of some sort. Like a really small metal sign.
Like a really tiny sign.
And it just got me right and just cracked my tooth.
Like a baby on board sign?
Oliva's got a dent in his head because he had one of those tiny baby alarm clocks thrown on his head.
Oh, really?
Like the little plastic ones. Nailed.
That's crazy. You gotta show Andrew your VHSs.
I talked to Matt Voles.
Yeah.
he's the gatekeeper.
I haven't seen the archivist.
Yeah.
He's turning it into art.
I hope so. Turned to something.
I'm still looking at this roster here. Tyler Black was there. Teddy Hart, Vampiro, New Jack. He was part of it. Joey Ryan, Just Incredible.
Yeah, that's right.
Matt Sydal.
Candice LeRae is supposed to be coming up to NXT.
Who?
Candice LeRae, I think is that her name.
Who's that?
Candice LeRae.
Candice LeRae.
Yeah, is that chick's name?
Sarah Del Rey?
No. Sarah Del Rey?
No. Candice, something like that. Some chick. Yeah, I think Candice LeRae.
Are you a fan of the Lucha Dragons?
She's, wow. Candice LeRae is like this chick who's like one of the better female wrestlers out there that mostly fights men.
Yes, I read like a little blip about that.
That she might be get called up.
That she's supposed to be like one of the best female wrestlers that's happened in the last 5 years or something like that, right?
Yeah. Lucha Dragons, is that that dude that was killing a bunch of people?
No,
the two of them.
Kalisto and Hunico.
Who's that other guy in the trench coat?
That's Super Dragon.
Super Dragon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you messaged me the other day. You just discovered him.
I spent an hour watching Lucha Dragon matches. Mm-hmm. You ever watch this crap? He looks like he just hurts everybody. Everything is stiff and scary.
And he's not in shape.
Not in shape. Black trench coat, black lucha mask, and he kills people. His finishing move is like he drops you directly, like a neck breaker where he literally breaks your neck. Like he drops you on your neck.
Is this indies or is this?
He's in everything.
Like he's in
Pro Wrestling Gorilla.
Yeah, everything except for Ring of Honor. He's been doing
no, he did Ring of Honor.
Yeah?
Yeah, a couple years.
But he's like literally one of the stiffest human beings I've ever seen.
I don't know. You know what bothers me? Like I see CZW and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
The most impressive thing I did see in like all of my discoveries recently has been like the Willie Mack stuff.
He was part of CZW.
I think he is so incredibly talented.
A lot of dudes were. So if you see anything Necro Butcher, you're just like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't.
I just see. You know, Necro Butcher was at Gwar Fest.
Okay.
And he had a match. Uh-huh. Like during somebody, there's like a wrestling metal band.
Now, yeah.
And he started having a match with the lead singer in the middle of the thing. Yeah, and they were just cutting each other. Like, that's all it was. They were just mutilating each other's face.
I'd like to see a documentary on Necro Butcher. Like, a really in-depth, like a WWE-style documentary on Necro Butcher.
You know what it is about Necro Butcher that I always had a problem with? Because my first introduction to him was in the wrestler movie. And he represented this big, scary thing that eventually makes Mickey Rourke take his own life for the most part. So I've always had a negative outlook at Necro Butcher, and he looks like shit, man.
See, I was the opposite because I knew about Necro Butcher before the movie, and I lost my mind when I saw him in the movie. I was like, oh, that's the Necro Butcher.
He's been around a long time. It's he's 41 name, years man. Old.
It's a great name. He looks it too. It's a great, great name.
The Necro Butcher.
Yeah.
He started wrestling in '98.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This guy's been around for. He was part of IWA.
He just missed ECW by a few years.
Oh yeah. Well, no. Yeah, if ECW was around another 2 years, he would have seen Necro Butcher there.
He would have been in 1,000 Sandman matches.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and New Jack.
And Sabu, like he would have been a fixture. He would have been Bulls Mahoney would be out of work for a while.
I agree. He would have been a fixture, and not only that, but you would have seen a WWE version of Necro Butcher where he showed up in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
And didn't acknowledge his past.
Yeah.
When they signed all those dudes. I think they signed Sandman to just show up with a kendo stick at one point.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't work.
He's wrestled all these guys, though. Like,
yeah.
He's part of the Juggalo Championship Wrestling Organization.
Well, I mean, a lot of
and
people.
And CZW.
Are from the Juggalos.
Part of CZW.
I'm fascinated by that, dude. Let's get him on the show.
I'm looking at these names. The Joker. Justice Payne. The Wife Beater. Sandbag.
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 If you had to pick a backyard wrestling name... Now.
Sandbag.
Like now.
Sandbag.
At how old are you?
30.
At 30.
Yeah.
I'm never sure.
The Sandbag Butcher.
What about you?
If I
right, right now you just lost your mind and you're like, mine. You know what? I'm in my 30s. I'm gonna start backyard wrestling again.
The Alligator Fuckhouse.
That would be
mine is Mutar the Mutilator.
Mutar the Mutilator. I like that. That's something though.
Mutar the Mutilator? Yeah. Yeah, it was a cartoon on MTV.
Oh.
Jessica's cousin drew up.
Can't use that name.
I can license it from him.
Okay.
You know what my name will be? Hillbilly Heroin. That's my backyard wrestling name.
I like that.
I just walk around with Vicodin in my fanny pack. That's my entire gimmick. I just have Vicodin in my fanny pack.
Nice. Just throw pills at everybody.
Yeah. Like is when that, I come out, people just open up their mouths and I just throw pills
in. That could be your finisher instead of the $100 bill. You just put like a bunch of pills in somebody's
mouth.
Bunch
of pills. And then they start ODing. They start convulsing. Cyanide
or,
pills.
Or you just relax their muscles.
Yeah. Just a little Soma for them. Here's a Soma. Good boy. It's actually a gift.
There's
everybody.
Just no match. You just show up and give pills to everybody.
All right, guys. Time to wrap it up. Behind the Counter is up next if you're watching live. If you're not watching live,
too bad.
Thank you for tuning in. Subscribe to us, guys. GFKNetwork.com is a website. You can subscribe to us. Follow us on Facebook. I think we have over 8,000 followers on Twitter now. Matt Men Podcast on Twitter. Matt Men Podcast on Facebook. BTC Jadler, BTC Rich, and Andrew Zarian. We'll see you all next week.
At the movies.
At the movies. Goodbye for now.